Welcome in. This is the Parallel Drum Crunch Masterclass at 170 BPM. Beginner-friendly and fully doable with mostly stock Ableton Live devices. The big idea today is simple, but it's one of those how did I ever mix drums without this techniques, parallel processing. You keep your clean drums exactly as they are, so your transient stays sharp and punchy. Then you create a separate, crushed version of the drums and blend it underneath like seasoning. At 170 BPM, that's the sweet spot. You get loudness and density without flattening the groove. By the end, you'll have a drums group feeding two return channels. One return is called crunch. It's mid-focused, adds bite and glue. The other is smash. It's heavier, squashed, aggressive, and you'll use it more carefully. Then we'll do a quick 8 to 16 bar arrangement with a little automation, so it feels like real drum and bass instead of a static loop. Let's set up the session. First, set your tempo to 170 BPM. Now create a few audio or MIDI tracks, kick, snare, hats or perk, and optionally a break track. That break layer is a cheat code for DNB vibe, even if it's tucked way down. Select all those tracks and group them. On Mac that's Command G, on Windows Control G. Name the group drums. Keep the drums group output going to the master. Quick teacher note, grouping is not just organization, it's about control. Once drums are grouped, you can send the whole picture to parallel returns, automate energy changes easily, and do light bus processing without getting lost. Now let's build a basic pattern so we have something to mix. Start with a classic two-step foundation. Put the kick on beat 1 and beat 3 of each bar, then the snare on beats 2 and 4. If you're looking at Ableton's bar.beat.16th display, you'll see those land around 1.1 and 1.3 for the kicks, and the snare is around 1.2 and 1.4 depending on how your grid is shown. If that's confusing, don't overthink it. Kick on the downbeat, kick in the middle, snares on the backbeats. That's the heartbeat. For hats, start with 8th notes. If you want more energy, go 16th notes. Add small velocity changes so it doesn't feel like a robot. Something like 70 to 105 is enough. The goal is movement, not chaos. If you're using a break loop, drop it on its own track and set warp mode to beats. Preserve set to transients. Then adjust the transient envelope somewhere around 40 to 60 to keep it snappy. You're aiming for crack and chop, not smeary time stretching. Before we add any crunch, we have to do one unglamorous step that makes everything easier. Gain saging. On each drum track, aim for peaks roughly between minus 12 and minus 6 dB. On the drums group, aim for peaks around minus 6 dB. Here's why. Parallel chains tend to add level fast. Saturation and compression can explode your signal, and if you're already hot, you'll end up making decisions based on clipping and distortion you didn't intend. Headroom is the difference between punchy crunch and fuzz soup. Now we create our parallel returns. Show the return tracks in Ableton. Create two return channels. Name return A Crunch and return B Smash. Set both return faders all the way down for now, basically negative infinity. We'll blend later. Now decide what to send. Beginner-friendly move. Start by sending only the snare and the break to the returns. That's where crunch tends to sound instantly good. Then you can add a little hats if you want extra presence. Be careful with kick sends. In DNB, the kick and especially the sub region need to stay clean and readable. Also, a quick note about sends. In Ableton, sends are post-fader by default, meaning when you turn the drum track up or down, the amount going to the return follows. That's great for most situations and especially for beginners, because your parallel blend stays relative to your drum mix. Pre-fader sends can be cool when you want to mute the dry drums but keep the crunch layer going, like a breakdown or telephone-style moment. But let's keep it straightforward today. Use the default post-fader behavior. All right, let's build return A, crunch. This one is all about mid-bite and blue while keeping punch. On return A, first add EQ8, put a high-pass filter at 120 Hz with a steep slope, like 24 dB per octave. This is important. We are intentionally keeping low end out of the distortion and compression. It stops your kick and bass relationship from turning into mud. If the return starts to sound boxy, you can add a small dip around 300 to 450 Hz, maybe 2 to 4 dB. Next add saturator. Set it to analog clip. Drive around plus 4 to plus 8 dB. Turn soft clip on. Then adjust the output so you're not tricking yourself with loudness. Teacher tip, if you're not sure whether you're improving the sound or just making it louder, turn the return up temporarily, set your tone, then bring it back down. Loudness bias is real, and it can make you overcook everything. After saturator, add a glue compressor. Set attack to 3 milliseconds, release to auto ratio 4 to 1. Bring the threshold down until you see about 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction on peaks. Makeup off, and turn soft clip on and glue as well. Subtle. Finally, add another EQ8 after compression. This is for polish. If you want a little air, use a gentle high shelf around 7 to 10 kHz, plus 1 to plus 3 dB. If it gets harsh, dip around 3 to 6 kHz by 2 to 5 dB with a fairly narrow Q. The goal sound here, the snare feels thicker and more consistent, the break gets a little hair and attitude, and hats feel slightly more connected. But you should still feel the clean transient snap from your dry drums. Now return B, smash. This is the aggressive one. It's the spicy sauce. Too much and your drums will sound loud but weirdly flat and tiring. On return B, start with drum boss. Set drive somewhere around 10 to 25%. Crunch around 20 to 40%. Keep boom cautious, like 0 to 20%, because boom can cloud the low end fast. Damp around 10 to 30% to tame fizz. Transients start at 0, you can adjust later if needed. After drum boss, add overdrive. Set the frequency around 1.5 to 3 kHz. That targets bite. Drive around 30 to 60%. Tone around 30 to 50%. Dynamics low, like 0 to 20%, if you want it more flattened and mean. Then add the standard Ableton compressor. Ratio 8 to 1. Attack 10 milliseconds so some of the initial click can slip through. Release between 50 and 120 milliseconds. Bring the threshold down until you're seeing a lot of gain reduction, like 6 to 12 dB. Yes, that's heavy. This is a crushed layer, not your main drum sound. Then add EQ8 to control the damage. Put a high pass filter around 150 to 200 Hz. If it turns into white noise fizz, add a low pass around 12 to 16 kHz. And if it stabs your ears, notch a little around 4 to 5 kHz. The goal sound, a thick, squashed, almost roomy character behind your clean drums. It shouldn't replace your drums. It should make them feel bigger and meaner when blended quietly. Now we blend. This is where the magic happens. Loop 4 to 8 bars of your drop. Start with return A, crunch. Bring the return fader up slowly until you clearly notice it. Then back off slightly. A typical range might land somewhere around minus 18 to minus 10 dB on the return fader, but don't mix with your eyes. Mix with the feeling. You want more body and connection without hearing obvious distortion. Now bring in return B, smash even more carefully. You might land around minus 24 to minus 14 dB. Again, this varies a lot. Mute the returns on and off to a slash B. You're listening for a few specific wins. The snare body and consistency increases. The break becomes more forward and confident. The hats feel like they belong to the same drum kit. And most important, the clean transient punch still leads the sound. If you turn the returns on and your drums suddenly feel smaller or less punchy, that's usually a sign you've either got too much smash, or your compression timing is fighting the groove. Let's talk timing for a second, because 170 BPM is fast, and compression settings matter more than people think. If the crunch layer feels like it's breathing in a bad way, shorten the release so it recovers before the next main hit. If the snare loses snap, lengthen the attack slightly on the compressor in the return. Even a 1 to 5 millisecond change can be audible at this tempo. Now, keeping the kick and sub clean. This is critical in DNB. You've already done the best fix. High pass filtering the returns. That protects the low end from the distortion. Second fix. Send less kick. Keep the kick send near zero and let the snare and break do the heavy lifting. Bonus option. If your bass and kick are huge and you want extra space, sidechain the return compression to the kick, subtly. On return B's compressor, turn sidechain on, choose kick as the input. Use a gentle ratio like 2 to 1, fast attack 1 to 3 milliseconds, release 60 to 120 milliseconds, and aim for only 1 to 3 dB of reduction. This is just to create breathing room, not a big pump effect. One more quick sanity check. Parallel chains rely on alignment. Ableton's delay compensation usually keeps things tight, but if you add high latency plugins, look head limiters, or linear phase style processing, you can sometimes soften the transient when the return comes in. If muting and unmuting the return changes the shape of the transient, not just the loudness, simplify the chain or remove the high latency device from the return. Now let's make it feel like a real DNB section with movement. Parallel processing is extra powerful when it changes across the arrangement. Here's an easy plan. In the intro, keep crunch low. Cleaner drums build tension. At the drop, push crunch up and add just a touch of smash. In a variation section, pull smash back and maybe add a couple hat fills. Then for a fill right before a new phrase, do a quick hype move. In the last half bar before the downbeat, automate return B up by 3 to 6 dB, then snap it back down right on bar 1. That little overcooked moment then clean hit feels super modern. If you want an even more musical 16-bar energy curve, try this. Bars 1 to 4 minimal parallel, bars 5 to 8 gradually add crunch, bars 9 to 12 add a touch of smash mainly for impact, and bars 13 to 16 do a slightly overdone moment around bar 15. Then clean reset into bar 1. Optional finishing on the drums group, not on the master. Add glue compressor with attack 10 milliseconds, release auto, ratio 2 to 1, and keep gain reduction to 1 or 2 dB max. If needed, a limiter catching peaks only, not slamming. The idea is to make the clean and parallel layers feel like one instrument. Before we wrap, quick common mistakes to avoid. 1. Too much low end in the returns. That's Mud City. Fix it with high pass filters around 120 to 200 Hz and lower kick sends. 2. Overdoing smash until transients disappear. If your drums feel loud but flat, pull smash down, lean more on crunch, or use a slightly slower attack in the smash compressor. 3. Harshness around 3 to 6kHz. That's where fatigue lives. Dip that range on the returns, and don't be afraid of a gentle low pass around 14 to 16kHz if needed. 4. Not gain matching. Louder will always sound better for 5 seconds. Use return output controls and mute a slash B often. 5. Crunching everything equally. DNB needs separation. Send snare and break more. Keep kick clean, and treat hats like a spice, not the whole meal. If you want a couple quick upgrades for later, here are 3. First, multiband parallel. Use an audio effect rack on the return and split into low, mid, and high chains. Distort mostly the mid band, like 250 Hz to 6 kHz. That lets you push character without low-end haze. Second, transient safe smash using a gate. Put a gate after distortion and before the compressor on return B, and sidechain the gate to the snare so the crunch opens mainly on impacts, not on every hat tick. This audio version is shortened for playback.